Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
...love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone and tell him I'm here to see him.
Then most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Aloha. Aho'okipa. Hello and welcome to a truly special episode of Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasts or on golftripx.com. I absolutely could not be more thrilled today with what we're about to share with you. We've literally got the entire US of A covered. With me, Mitch Lawrence, at Mitch Lawrence on Twitter and Instagram, in the seaside golf capital of the world, Myrtle Beach. Darren Bunch, at Golf Getaways, in the capital of California, which is, of course, Bakersfield, as we well know. Chris McEwen, at Chris McEwen, in the capital of the Midwest, Chicago. And our historic guests, Blake, Chloe, dad, husband, Kylie, their dog, Lyman, and mom, wife, Miho, in absentia, the Nakagawa family graciously joining us from their home in paradise in Kalua Kona on the big island of Hawaii. They will be joining us shortly. And Darren, I know you are as happy as I am right now. Aloha, my friend. And I am making a shaka hand sign right now.
Oh boy, I'm excited about this. We've never tried it before, so that will be fun logistically just to start things off. But I'm sure this is going to be a conversation unlike anything we've ever done on Talking Golf Getaways, and we've done a few of these.
Yes, we have. We have. I'll get to that in a minute. Right now, before we get started with the Nakagawa family, Chris is the only one of us right now who's freezing. How you doing, Chris? Are you ready for us to warm you up a bit?
Oh, I'm going to mentally just transfer myself to the Big Island as I listen. I can't wait.
All right. Turn
it's
that
so
heat.
Cold
I
here.
Think you should
it's
turn
so cold here.
I know. Turn the heat up in your apartment there.
Right.
Just turn it up to like 90. Just start sweating as we do this.
Put on a pot of boiling water to bring up the humidity just a little
right.
bit.
And you'd right.
be, you feel like you're right there.
Couple of fans for trade winds. You'll be good to go. All right, let's get right to it. I mentioned the word historic, and here's why. With their appearance today, as Darren mentioned, Blake and Chloe become the youngest guests to appear with us on over 180 Talking Golf Getaways podcasts. Also, the youngest I've interviewed on over another, I don't know, give or take 250 podcasts that I did solo. And that could not be more appropriate. After much thought, given what we've got, Blake, Chloe, and Kylie with us, here's how we're going to roll. We're going to talk first to Blake, as he's the reason I became a Nakagawa addict to begin with. Thanks to Kylie's Instagram posts, which started in 2015 when Blake was 4. And then we'll talk to Chloe, who's 12, and a fantastic golfer traveler herself, an accomplished hula dancer, which I love. And finally, we're going to hear from Dad Kylie, who I've been communicating with for quite a while, and I can't wait to actually talk to Kylie. This is going to be off the charts. On Instagram, you can find them all. This is so great. Okay, get ready. Blake underscore Nakagawa, at Island Chloe, Khloe. Wife Miho is at Island KB, KAYBEE. And not to be outdone, there is actually an account at Lyman, @LYMAN_the_Hawaiian_golden. Yes, Lyman has his own Instagram account.
Why do we not have Instagrams for our dogs, Mitch? I never thought of that.
I don't know, but I think after this, we may have to go to it.
If nothing else. German Shepherd, I got to go look that up right now. I'll be back in a few.
If nothing else, at least that way the dogs can communicate on Instagram. So
that's
it's good.
Point.
All right, let's get to it. I'm going to call you Blakey, but if you'd like me to call you Blake, you let me know, Blake, okay?
All my close friends call me Blakey, so I'm A-okay with that.
You got it, man. Right. I am honored to call you Blakey, as that means we're close friends. As I said, let me give you a little background here. I began seeing Blake Swing in 2015. October of 2015, to be exact. He was 4. I literally gasped when I saw it. There's no other way to put it. I've been playing golf for 40 plus years. Not once have I ever swung a club like Blake. Not once. Not one time. And the years, the pictures, the videos go by. Blake playing golf, surfing, doing jiu-jitsu. All of us, if you're familiar with him, have watched him grow up, both in incredible game skills and as a person. He started playing at 2, much like someone named Tiger Woods, I'm just saying. At 3, according to Kylie, he had an understanding of various parts of the swing and shot making. And now, with those years in between at age 10, he's competed in, get this, over 125 events around the country, including since the age of 6, at the IMG Junior Worlds and at the U.S. Kids World Championships at Pinehurst. Now, golf accomplishments aside, and that's a pretty good list there, Blake is, by all accounts, one of the nicest, kindest, fun-lovingest kids you will find anywhere. He's obviously living a great life, golf, surfing, other Hawaiian cool stuff. And, oh, yeah, and this might top it for me and Darren. He loves hickories. Hey, Blakey, how you doing, man? I am so excited to finally talk to you. Welcome to Talking Golf Getaways.
Thank you. That was a great introduction.
Well, it's the first introduction of many, many, many more to come, I am sure. So I'm glad you liked it. We're going to add a whole bunch of stuff to it as we go. Let's start. There's so much to talk about with you. Let's start with golf, okay, since that's really why we're here. You do know that starting at age 2 and being really accomplished as a player by age, let's say, 6, compared to most people who play the game, that's pretty unusual, right? Can you remember back, if it's only been a few years, so hopefully you can you remember back to when you started and how quickly you felt that you really loved this game?
Well, I played my first tournament when I was 3, and when I went to the scores table, I started crying because I couldn't write my name on the bottom of my scorecard.
Oh. So what? Did they make you sign an X or something?
No, my sister came and helped me write my name, so it was okay.
Oh, that's sweet. But did you, when you picked up a club when at 2, and then you kind of played a little bit, did you automatically at that point feel connected to it?
Oh, yes, for sure. I used to, well, when I was 2, I wasn't really like technically playing golf. I was more running on the courses and eating snacks at the comfort stations.
That's funny. That's what Darren and I do now.
Exactly.
But over the years, I've grown as a golfer, and right now, I love like planning a perfect golf shot and then executing it and then having a really nice birdie putt opportunity.
Wow. Wow. I mean, to me, it's so, and again, we all have our golf stories. Chris knows this, Blake. He does a podcast called Golf Origin Stories, which is very cool. You guys should listen to it if you get a chance. It's all about how people started playing the game. And your story is so unbelievable to most of us that you connected with it that quickly. I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are drawn to you, is that you started so, so young.
Thank you.
Does it make you, like, that very first time when you couldn't even write your name, can you remember what you shot?
I think it was around 50 or something, not 9 holes. So, but, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But there was not many people in my age group, so I still won.
You mean there weren't a whole lot of other 3-year-olds competing?
Yes.
That's going to be your strategy when you get to be like 102, Mitch, right?
That's
you're
going to
go play in an event. And
that's me. I'm going to be the first one and the last one standing.
My first tournament, I had to play in the 6 and under division. There was not a division young enough for me yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you were playing against kids much older. At least 2 years older.
My dad had to lift me up so I could see the pin sometimes.
Now there would be some good Instagram photography right there.
Oh boy.
That would be excellent. Tell me a little bit about just the creativity. I know, like, the second post your dad ever put up was you at age 4 hitting a big breaking putt and asking it to take the break. Did you just see that, you know, the creativity that comes with that type of shot making? Did you just see it naturally from that early age, or was it taught to you in some way?
Well, I've always seen my dad read putts, go down to his knees and see the break, and then he'd always show me what it's doing. But I always felt like I've had it, I'd say.
Yeah, that makes sense. You would have to have the kind of skill and success as you're having now to mm-hmm. just, you know, we talk about all the time, whether some of it is natural or some of it is coaching and parents and all of that. But you just understood the game from that early age, right? It just kind of clicked with you in a way it doesn't with a lot of people.
You know, the two kids are so different. You know, Blake is a much more feel player. You know, he could have a 30 foot putt and it, you know, he's not going to pace it off or you know, he's just going to look at it and feel it and find a read and roll it. Whereas Chloe likes to pace it off to the exact, you know, she's like, that is 32 feet. It's like, you know, they're very, very different in that sense, you know, where Chloe's a lot more technical and Blake's a lot more feel oriented.
It's so interesting to me because they represent all golfers.
Right. Right.
You know, we're all different in how we see and feel and look at and assess the game.
Correct.
And it's just interesting with two such great golfers in your family. And we'll get to you a little later, Kylie. We're not leaving you out of this. We're not leaving you out of this. It's just really interesting that at such a young age, both of them are already attached to kind of the way that they deal with the game. I think it's great. You mentioned about – Darren just mentioned about a coach. You have a coach, right, Blakey?
Yes, I do. I have one on this island named Nainoa Kalip. And then I just started working with a coach out in San Diego, Adam Porzak and Mike Pitts.
And how do you work with them? Do you work with them virtually or do you work with them when you go to San Diego? I know you've got a trip coming up.
Yes, we make a lot of trips out to San Diego, but recently we've been trying to do a monthly lesson on virtual online stuff.
How is that working for you? Does that seem to, do you feel like it's a good way to do it, given that you're, you know, still 3,000 miles away from where your coaches are?
Well, it's really cool in how, like, technology has grown so much, but I feel like it's not as good because, like, he still can move my body around and stuff, but he's such a good coach that it's still a really good lesson, virtually or not.
Did you, what's the name of the coach on the island there?
Nainoa Kalip.
Nainoa Kalip. How
yes.
cool. When you started working with Nainoa Kalip, did you feel instantly like you guys had a connection? Were you happy to be working with somebody? I know Kylie's such a great golfer. You probably could have coached him, Kylie, but it's good that you let him work with somebody else. Did you feel a connection with that coach and kind of use him to lean on at the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We talk things out a lot together, and he's like my older brother to me right now. So,
isn't that cool? How old is he? Is he 12?
He's about in his 30s, I should say.
Oh, okay. That gets it. So he's a little bit older brother. I get it. What were you going to say, Darren?
Well, I was going to say, and Blake, did you want to be coached? Because, you know, there are a lot of young kids out there who are playing the game who just kind of fall in love with the game, but they don't really – they're not thinking about it in those terms. So they don't want somebody really telling them what to do and how to play. They just want to go out and swing the golf club. Was it your idea to, did you come to a point where you realized if I had somebody who was coaching me, I would get a lot better in a hurry?
Yes. I've always wanted to be the best golfer that I could be. So I feel like a coach and I would like to learn as much as possible. So a coach really helps me out.
Cool. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
Blakey, tell us, I'm interested about how you feel when you're playing. You seem so happy all the time. And I know that most of us put up posts where we look good or are happy or good things are going on. But I also know we're golfers, and that's not always the way it happens. You get frustrated sometimes. We'll talk about you competing in a little bit. But do you feel like you've grown a lot just playing the game and learning how to deal with the frustrations of playing the game?
Yeah. I get frustrated sometimes, I'd say, especially when I'm like going through like trouble time and like having a lot of swing changes and stuff. It gets frustrating and stuff. Like my putting stroke recently hasn't been the best. My feet were open, so that made me tend to push my putt. So now that my feet are square, I'm sort of pushing it or swiping at it, overcompensating. But normally I'm having a lot of fun, especially when I go out with like my friends and uncles and go out and play. It's awesome.
How cool. I can tell. I jealousy doesn't come up often in my life, but there's been a lot of times when I'm watching you and the videos your dad puts up where I'm really jealous. Let's talk a little bit more about the game part of this, and I'm going to ask Chloe about it too. Your dad mentioned the two of you are different. Talk to us a little bit about the kind of game you like playing. I know he told me that you're a really big fan of the ground game and of shaping shots kind of thing. Talk to us in your words about the game, about the part of the game that you love that way.
Well, I like to shape shots. I like to hit it low, draw it, cut it. I like to read the hole more, and I'm a big fan of putting. I feel like you could hit a 300-yard drive, and if you can't putt, what's the point?
Why were you looking at me when you said that? Well, forget the 300-yard drive, but...
And then I'm a little different because I like to hit my shots like super far and straight. And I'm more of like a wood and iron kind of person. And Blake is super good at putting and chipping. So we're pretty different on our golf like shots.
That sounds. I was just going to say, if you guys play in a mixed team event, you are going to kill it.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like me and you, though, Mitch.
Yeah, that is true. Wait, which part of the game is really good for me? Never mind.
I was just going to let that go.
Yeah, thanks.
I feel like I could send them down to our local muni and just kind of hustle people, right?
You could, but you'd only be able to do it one time, Kylie.
Oh, that's right. The word would be out. Hey, I'm curious about something in all of this. And this is just, you know, for the listeners out there, you know, we've gone 15 minutes or so here talking about this, but we haven't said one crucial thing, Mitch, and that's how good is Blake right now? Like what are we talking about handicap and kind of scores he's shooting and what tees he's playing from? And, cause I'm curious about that. And I think the listeners out there would, at this point in the conversation, would want to know, you know, where he's at in his golf development and his golf journey.
You want me to take that one, Blake?
Go for it. Okay. I'll say my part after.
Okay. You know, Blake competes at the biggest junior golf tournaments in the country. You know, Junior Worlds and US Kids Pinehurst, I would argue, are the two biggest. And he's placed in the top five at Pinehurst and he's placed in the top five at Junior Worlds.
Wow.
You know, he competes in all the major tournaments.
Well, how does that translate into score?
Well, you know, it's kind of misleading. His handicap is a 9.7 right now, but it's hard because even from the forward tees, it's long for him. You know, if he plays a course from the forward tees, he's still hitting hybrid or five iron or you know, a lot of times woods into the par fours. The tournaments he plays in are a lot shorter. They'll tee him up from the beginning of the fairway. And in those tournaments, he shoots par or under, usually.
Nice.
If that makes sense. But, you know, with the handicap system, it's just hard for a 10-year-old, you know, because it's just long. It's just long for him.
Right. But it sounds like Blake would be perfect in a foursome with me and you, Mitch.
Oh, not even close.
We'll play from 5,000 or 4,500 yards and play a golf course, and we would have an absolute blast, the three of us.
Not even. And here, Blakey, this will make you feel better. You're 10. I'm going to be 72 in a couple of weeks, and I have the exact same problem on the golf course on par fours that you do.
That's right.
That's exactly the way I feel. Too many woods into greens. That's funny, but that's great. And it's a.
Okay. Yeah, I said it.
Go ahead.
Oh, no. He nailed my line. So.
Did you have anything to add to that, Blakey? Okay.
Well, yeah.
Fathers sometimes do that.
It took over.
All right, Mitchell. Do you have one more there?
No, that was it. Let's talk a little bit about golf and travel, Darren. I know you and I, this is what we've been doing. And I know you have a question for Blakey.
Yeah, I mean, the family travels like crazy. Blake has probably traveled more at age 10 than many adults have. You know, we kind of can relate to that because our friend Eric Hart, who works with us here, his son, Dylan, it was the same way. He just, you know, started traveling with him from a very young age and got to see so much of the world and so many great courses. So, you know, Blake, our question is, just starting in Hawaii, where are the places that you love to play there? I mean, you have to be at a point now where you've developed this mentality of you like some courses better than others. You know, what are the top courses in your mind that you just love getting out and playing?
Well, there's two courses that I love too much, I'd say. There's one course a little north from our house, but it's a course where you could run a shot up. You could either hit like a six iron and stop it, or you could hit like your 3-wood and just bump it up to the green.
And what's it called?
It's Hapuna.
Okay.
It's where college kids just played there. They had a big tournament up there, so.
And what's the other? You said there were two.
And then my other favorite course is Nanea. It's a private course. It's a David McClay Kid design, and it's the same thing. There's more than one option for every single shot. You could run things up, cut, draw, and the greens are really slick and nice.
I think Blake is going to be my contact for Nanea. My goal over the next 10 years is to play all of the David McClay Kid courses in the world. And I've already played a lot of them, but Nanea seems to be the hardest ticket. So I might have to come visit you and we might have to go play.
You know somebody now.
That's right.
Yeah, we do. But I'll talk to you about Darren, Kylie, off mic. No, but are there any other ones on the other part, on the other islands, Blakey, that you guys like? And Chloe, you can chime in after Blake too, and Kylie, you can as well. We're interested in the courses that you guys like.
What do you like, Chloe?
I really enjoy one of the courses on this island called Kukio, because that's where one of the golf courses I go all the time, because even when I didn't play golf, Blake would go there all the time, and I would just be running on the fairways and dancing hula on the greens, and they have really good comfort stations with like frozen fruit and ice cream, so I really like that course.
I think this island has the best golf, but I'd say a lot of the times that we travel off island, it's not really vacation. We're more just going up for a tournament, so we don't get to pick the nicest courses. But I still think this course has the nicest courses.
This island?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would agree with Blake. You know, I'm a little, you know, biased, I guess, but I think we have the best golf here. You know, Blake's lucky that he gets invited a lot to play at these private courses. And, you know, even the places that we play during the week or on the weekends in the late afternoon, we got some special golf here, you know, that, that is pretty good. And we're very fortunate. So I like it here. You know, we, I told you, I think I talked to you, Mitch, a little bit about the golf course out in Honokaa. That's just a nine hole track mm-hmm. that was designed by Scottish settlers back, you know, and we take the dog, we take the hickories, and we have the course to ourselves more often than not. And it's the most fun.
How cool that, you know, all these other places are great, but that place sounds unbelievable to me.
And you know what, I mean, we're just a golf loving family. You know, it doesn't have to be the prettiest or nicest or most exclusive courses. We can go out anywhere and have a great time. You know, the matches we have and the, you know, the little bets we have between brother and sister and daughter and dad, and they usually team up and beat me. And you know, we can literally play anywhere and have a blast.
What kind of bets do you have? What do you play for?
Candy, push-ups,
chores.
Candy, push-ups, chores.
Yeah. So Blake and Chloe bet, and the loser has to clean the other's bag at the end of the day. You know, scrub and clean the irons. And Blake and I usually play for candy. And it's gotten ridiculous to a point where, you know, I got to go to Costco and load up on boxes that I owe him. So it's getting to a point now where I need a few more strokes.
Yeah.
Tell him.
I think when it comes to candy, strokes are important.
Yeah.
That's right. It's amazing, too, though, that here in the mainland, you know, we're looking for oceanfront golf all the time. I'm part of a project up in Oregon near Bandon Dunes, and mm-hmm. and you know, the last little bits of oceanfront property that people are looking for, and there, I mean, what I found on my trips to the islands, and I haven't been to the big islands, the only one I haven't been to, is that there's just so much golf and just so many beautiful locations. And it's like you mentioned, it's not always the most prestigious, but it's just fun, affordable golf in many places. And I know there's a nine holer on Lanai as well, yeah, you know, yeah, kind of what you described of the one you go to with your family. And, it's just, you know, I feel like you could just be there, and you are lucky enough to live there, but those of us who go, we don't seek out those, spots as much as we do the, you know, the big ticket courses, and really we should, because I think people would have even more fun.
And you know what, Darren, I think the trend here, and it might be other places too, but with course design, I feel like they're getting a little away from that, that if you, you know, have a quality designer that builds an interesting enough course, you don't need the par three over the water.
Right.
I think, you know, like, yep, look at Nanea. It's Nanea is 7 miles up the hill. It's nowhere near the water. Yep. Of course you can see the ocean, but you know, if you build a course like that, I think you don't need that signature par three over the bay, you know.
Excellent point.
All right, Blakey, I have another thing I want to talk to you about. We all know that golf is an amazing way to meet people. You know that by mm-hmm. now. No yes. matter where you play, I don't care where you play. I want to talk about someone you met along the way lately, because she is also one of Darren and my favorite people. You got a chance to, I think not the last winter, I think was the first time you got to meet Dr. Sarah, who's also known as Smoots. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You got to play a few holes with her. I talked to her because I was interested to see how she felt the first time that she got to play with you. And she said, you only got to play a couple holes at Hapuna, she told me. And she said that you were incredibly polite, which we know, that you were really warm and friendly to her. And that the thing that was interesting to her was that you almost seemed surprised that she ran over and wanted to meet you. I have a feeling that Smoots, who we love, who's really one of the great people, and like you, I've never met her in person, but we have a kind of long-running friendship now, Darren as well. But that somebody like Sarah would kind of purposely go over to meet you. She said, seemed surprising. Talk to us about, because you do have, thanks to Instagram and your dad, you do have fans all over the place now. How do you feel about that kind of thing?
Yeah, when I met her, she ran over to me. I was a little surprised. I think she was a little drunk.
Wait, Sarah Smoots was a little drunk?
Oh, she's going to love everything about this podcast.
She enjoys life. Let's put it that way, Blakey. And she loves her some Hawaii, for real.
Yeah, I got a little startled, but.
You were startled when she ran up to you?
Yeah, a little bit, but.
Okay. Did you get over it?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then we had a little for fun tournament at, and this wasn't a nice course. It was like a beat up track up in Kohala. Mm-hmm. And I was on one hole. I hit a shot. It landed, the fairways are really hard and stuff. I told my dad, I'm going to take one club less. I'm going to hit the fringe of the green and it's just going to roll up. He hit a really good shot before me, so I was trying to put it inside of him. I hold it, so. And then Sarah was on the hole below us, so she saw it. She was going crazy.
And how cool.
Two holes after that, she told me, okay, Blakey, let's see another one. I walked up to the tee box, and they have those. They still had the foam things of COVID. These foam pool noodles inside of the hole. I hit a wedge. It bounced again, hit the cup, and bounces out from the pool noodle.
Oh, and no. You got pool noodled. No.
Yeah.
Well, I just want you to know she's also a big fan, obviously, and she hopes to get to see you again. So I wanted to pass that along. Let's leave Sarah for a moment because I want to talk – and your dad will know how I feel about this. I want to talk about another golfer you've not only met, but have formed a pretty incredible friendship with. Most of us know him as a Hall of Fame golfer, one of our favorite golf course architects ever. But you don't call him Mr. Crenshaw. You now call him Uncle Ben. Can you talk to us a little bit about that special relationship that you guys have?
Yeah, I met him when I was 5 years old. And from now and the 5 years I've known him, we became great friends with each other. And he taught me a lot about writing cards, like handwritten cards. He'll write one to me, and then he expects me to write one right back to him. So that's something really cool that we have.
That is very cool.
But is that it? Come on. You're playing with a guy who's won the Masters, who designs golf courses all over the world. And rather than just being... Hi, I really like you and what you do. You guys are like really good buddies, man. There's pictures of you two hugging each other and playing. You've played with them a number of times and just real respect. Respect. Not kidding around respect, but real respect.
Yeah, I play with him a lot and I ride in the car with him and we're talking about golf, of course, but we're talking a lot of stuff that's not related to golf one bit. Like, we're talking about milkshakes. When he was on tour, he'd go to every single restaurant at the course, and he'd rate their milkshakes.
Oh, boy, God, Darren. I knew I loved Ben Crenshaw. I love him more now.
That's Darren's favorite thing, Blakey.
And then he loves Mexican food, so he told me that if I ever go to Phoenix, you got to go to Phoenix Country Club and try the enchiladas there. So that's something I have to do one day.
Well, I think it. Have you learned anything from playing with him in terms of your game? Has he helped you with your game?
Yes, he's helped me with my game. He's taught me a lot about my putting and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he's really, since he builds a lot of courses, he's in the cart and he's holding the sand. Whatever it's called.
Divot.
Yeah, the divot.
sand, divots,
yeah, the divot thing. And then he's picking up every single cigarette butt on the ground that he sees and puts it straight into his pocket.
But so he's taking care of the golf course.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Cool. Well, I think it's, I know we all do, we think it's really great that that you two have this friendship. And that's only going to grow, obviously. Because I know he's as impressed with you.
The best milkshakes are at Memorial.
Did you write that down, Darren?
I need to get to the Memorial, clearly.
All right.
Blake, you love hitting the older clubs, which, you yes. know, just makes us happy as can be. Yeah, you enjoyed hitting persimmons. Mitch sent you a couple hickories.
Yes.
You know, talk to us a little bit about why you love them and what happened when you showed them to Uncle Ben.
They're super cool. Like, you can't swing hard with them. And there's, I feel like there's no better feeling in golf when you flush a hickory.
Agreed.
Oh, God. My heart just melted, Blakey.
Can I ask you a few questions,
Mitch? Sure.
Well,
yep.
Do you like carry 14 clubs, or like do you have new clubs, or are they all hickories?
Most of the time, about 90% of the time, 95% of the time, I only play hickories.
Okay. And are you playing tee boxes up?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Not even a question anymore for me. But like I said, I'm going to be 72. I feel like I'm swinging like I did when I was 30. But apparently my body does not actually agree with that. And I just don't hit it as far as I used to. And so I'm very happy to move up tees and play from a place that makes the game fun for me.
And then yeah. I know you're coming up to this Big Island pretty soon. So you might... The courses here are pretty long, so you might want to bring your regular set.
I can do that. You know what I usually do, Blakey? Mm-hmm. If I'm playing in some place where I feel like I need to hit the ball a little further, and I'll bring my modern driver, and what else I have in my bag, I always bring four or five of my hickories because those are my clubs. Usually the lofted wedge, you know, Mashie Niblick and a Niblick and a mid iron. Those are always in my bag. I will never trade them for a modern club ever.
And then do you wear those crazy hats and pants that they
I do not wear them all the time, Blakey. I wear them when appropriate and the situation calls for it. Okay. And I also wear a kilt occasionally. Did you know that?
You know that is right.
Don't get started talking about the kilt.
If you think the other stuff's crazy, well, you see me in a kilt. And when I come to Hawaii, I will bring it and just wear it so you can see it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And Blake, it's different too with how both of us do it. I'm a little younger than Mitch is. I still hit it a little bit farther. So I don't play modern clubs hardly at all anymore. I only play hickories, and all of them are vintage from 100 years ago, except the driver that I have, which is made by a company, Louisville Golf, who makes modern hickories, basically. And I play as far back as 6,500 yards with people sometimes.
Really?
Because I happen to be able to hit. Yeah, I'm able to hit long woods fairly well at this point in my life with the hickories. So I can, you know, it's a lot like what you feel in that, you know, I'm hitting a 3-wood into holes that better players are hitting 7-irons, but mm-hmm. I'm good enough with them at this point that I can do it. If I'm choosing, I'm playing around 6,000 yards or 5,500 yards. And like Mitch, when Mitch came to Rams Hill in San Diego County, where I work, to visit a few months ago and had his hole in one, which we don't need to talk about here,
but about it.
You know, we played from the forward tees that day and had an absolute blast, you know, at playing it at I don't know, 5,000 yards or something like that with the hickories. So, you know, it's a little bit different for I think everybody who plays hickories into how they mix their clubs and how they create their bags. A lot of days I'm only playing with 7 golf clubs. And you know, other times if I'm traveling or something and I'm worried that I might break one or do something like that, I'll take a full, you know, 12, 14 clubs, you know, just in case. Yeah. But usually out of my bag, I'm only hitting, you know, 7 or 8 clubs.
Yeah. We bought my dad one of the Louisville. We bought him a 3-wood.
Oh, perfect. Is it a Black Beauty?
It's the Lisa
Louisville Black Beauty is what I. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make great clubs. People who hit them, you know, don't even know the difference between them and modern clubs sometimes.
Yeah.
I love the talk, Blakey. I'm only going to tell you one thing right now.
Okay.
The older you get relative to hickory clubs, the older you get, because right now you're still relatively small. But when you grow and you kind of become Blakey, great older player, I'll put it that way, you will be able to hit the ball really far with hickories. I have played, Darren and I, there's a course called Sweetens Cove that we love in Tennessee. And we had a hickory kind of event there. And there was a guy that played with me who was about 6'3", really good player. I mean, a really good player. He'd never played hickories before. And he asked if he could hit mine. And we had a par 5. There's a par 5 at Sweetens Cove. Okay. Do you remember this, Darren? I told you about this guy.
This wasn't Ross Beal. This was one of the other guys who was there with us. Because we had a Corn Ferry Tour player who played hickories too.
Ross Beal. He wasn't a Corn Ferry guy. He was just a really good golfer. Yeah. He was probably a low handicap golfer, but he was tall and he was really, he had a great swing, and he asked if he could try my clubs. So I gave him, I have a James Braid Brassey, and I gave him that, and he hit it about 280. And then as a second shot into the par 5, I have a 1-iron, a Tom Stewart 1-iron, which is literally like a butter knife.
Right.
And he carried the green, which was 260.
Oh my gosh.
And I always say good players can play. Players can play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the clubs.
Right. You'll get to a point where you might have to kind of feel the swing a little differently. But trust me, the way you play now, when you get a little bit older, you'll be able to – you'll pull out your hickory set. And if you want to talk about going after some people with a little bit of a wager, you'll be all good.
And I played I played with mine at a PGA Pro-Am event in Mississippi. And I was paired with John Malinger, who had a little success on the tour at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was when I very first started playing with hickories. And so we're out there, and he and his caddy started jawing at each other about whether John could hit my 3-wood out there. And so they had a wager, and he picked it up and hit a nice soft draw with it about the same thing, about 250, 260, just not even thinking twice about it. And, you know, here I am trying to slap it down there with a fade and hit it 190, 210 if I can. So, good players. I've put them in the hands of a lot of good players and seen what they can do. I'm sure that will be Blake's life when he decides to, you know, play hickories. Maybe he'll just play hickories forever.
Yeah.
That would be great. Blakey, if you get on the PGA Tour and you only play hickories, you don't even talk to anybody about it. You just say, hey, these are my clubs. Although club companies are going to be throwing money at you. So
they may not be conforming. Yeah.
There you go. Why not? All right, let's move on. We got to get to Chloe, and I want to get to your dad too. Just for a minute, let's talk about competing for a minute and traveling, because as your dad said, you've been all over. You've been to Pinehurst, Torrey Pines. You competed in the drive, chip, and putt at TPC Scottsdale in the regional final. You got really close. You finished second by 4 points.
Yes.
But you've played in some amazing places already in terms of competing. How is the competing part for you and the traveling to these great courses around the mainland?
Yeah. I'd say as a golfer, I don't get nervous, right? On the first tee?
I don't know. If you get nervous or not, you tell me.
Well, if I don't play a tournament in a long time, I'll get a little nervous, but after like a few holes, I'm fine. So
that's probably common for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you, when you travel so far and you compete, and you get to play places like Pinehurst and Torrey Pines and all these great, really historic golf courses, that must be pretty cool. Do you know how cool these places are?
Yes, they're really cool. I've recently been watching like on YouTube a lot of old players play these really cool courses. Mm-hmm. And last year we got onto Torrey North and it was a really nice course. It was fabulous.
That's something I don't think about enough, Mitch, that this generation now has so much video at their disposal of not just, you know, Tiger's golden age, but the stuff that we have resynthesized and put on YouTube of older players, of Nicklaus and Palmer and guys even before them, you know, that makes it on there that these kids can watch and just learn from, you know, this entire catalog of great players.
True. Yeah. And Blake's taking advantage of it, obviously. That's great.
When we go to these tournaments, we get to play really cool courses before my tournament and after my tournament. So let's talk about Tobacco Road.
Can we please? And I swear, Darren, I didn't slip him any money just to say that, you know.
Well, you tell us, what do you want to talk about Tobacco Road?
Well, Tobacco Road on par fives, there's half moons.
They've been there, Blake.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. It tells you a story at every single shot. Like,
I like that. What?
Like number one, like there's a double bottleneck.
Blake, how did you feel when you played it? That's what we want to, because, you know, obviously we love it, but we're always curious how other people feel when they play it for the first time.
Oh, my first time when I played there, I felt like they almost needed to give us a caddy. Like, we bought a book in the pro shop and there's some holes that I just didn't know what hole we're going to.
But for somebody who loves hitting shots the way you do, it's full of great shots, right?
Uh-huh. You can either draw one over a bunker or you could cut one and just play it safe to the middle of the green. I can even practice putting green forever. That green is awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty sick, isn't it? That putting green, the practice putting green?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's great. Well, obviously, we love that you love Tobacco Road. It's Darren and my favorite place. So let me ask you one other question. And Kylie, you may jump in here. You're going to graduate from high school in, is it 2030 or 31?
31, I think.
31, yeah.
31. Okay, if all goes according to plan, you're going to graduate. Do you know that? I'm sure you do. Ashkay Bhatia turned pro, just won on the Korn Ferry Tour at age 19. Either one of you can talk about this or both. What do you think about that? Is it too early to start thinking about that in your life? I know you're only 10, Blakey, but you're so advanced in so many ways. Have you thought at all about where you want your life to go? Or is it too early to talk about that?
You want to go first?
You, I'd love to hear what you say first.
Okay. So after high school.
You're welcome, Kylie. Yeah.
After high school, I'd want to go to a D1 college for golf and then graduate and, of course, get it onto the PGA Tour. And.
What schools, kid?
I'd love to go to the University of North Carolina. The University of...
Wait a minute. What? You do know I'm a Duke fan, right, Blakey?
Uh-oh.
Just a stake through your heart there, Mitch.
Oh, my God. All right. That's all right. I can connect him at Duke. That's okay. Okay. What are the other ones?
And then I want to go to University of Oregon and University of Austin, Texas.
Well, you may have a connection in Texas. There's a guy named Uncle Ben that might be able to help you.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mitch, you want to? I can circle back to the Ben Crenshaw thing a little bit. You know, Blake kind of glossed over it. So Blake met Mr. Crenshaw when he was 5 years old. He was at a private club here, and one of the pros, you know, and some of the employees talked to him about Blake, and they said he wants to meet him. So can you have him here? So I picked him up. I rushed to this club, and in the car, I was making him watch YouTube videos about Ben Crenshaw because, you know, as a 5 or 6 year old, he had no idea who he was.
Right.
So he's in the car watching YouTube highlights of Ben Crenshaw. So we got there, we met him, you know, and I thought it was going to be like a 15 minute thing and it was done. And he said, Blake, you want to go out and play a few holes? So they went out and they played 9 holes together that afternoon. And he said, take my number. You know, I want to stay in touch. Let me know how he does this year at tournaments. And when we're back next year, I want to see him again. So I thought, okay, you know, he's just, you know, being a gentleman. And he texted me first, actually, and, you know, said, it was great to meet Blake. What's your address? So he sent Blake a long handwritten note, and Blake wrote one back. And one thing about Blake, he's left-handed. He writes and eats left-handed, but he plays right-handed. So this first letter he wrote to him in pen, you know, when you're as a left-handed, right, it was all smeared and it was, you know. So anyway, we send this letter back and they became, you know, kind of pen pals. They'd write to each other, you know, every few months, and he'd write to Mr. Crenshaw and let him know how he did at Pinehurst and how he did at all these big tournaments. And that's how it began, you know, and ever since they play together between, you know, 3 and 5 or 6 times a year. And sometimes it's just the three of us. And a couple weeks ago when we played, I actually had to pinch myself. I'm like, we're actually on a fairway. My son's in a cart with Ben Crenshaw. And he's telling us stories about the Ryder Cup and about, you know, stories when he was on tour. And I'm like you guys, I'm a little bit of an architect nerd. So I actually have to tone it down a little bit and try not to be like a, you know, like a 16-year-old girl at a Justin Bieber concert, you know. Really, you know, I tell myself, ask him a question every other hole, because otherwise I'm just going to talk his ear off. And, you know, he loves to tell stories. He's, you know, he's got the best stories. And he carries that Wilson putter in his bag with no putter cover on, just banging around with his irons. And it's just there, you know. And arguably the most valuable, maybe the second most valuable putter in the world, right?
Yeah.
And it's just there.
Yeah. It's so amazing that, and I think that's it about the younger generation, that they haven't had all the years to be in awe of people like Ben. And so Blake has this very real, you know, normal relationship with him. Whereas the rest of us, when we happen upon, you know, our heroes,
right,
you know, after watching them for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you know, we're, you know, like exactly like you described it. It's just, it's something completely, completely different. So it's interesting to hear both sides of your relationship with Uncle Ben.
Well, and I tell Blake, you know, I don't mean it in a bad way, but I don't think he fully appreciates, you know, of course he appreciates that he plays with him, but I don't think he's fully going to grasp it for years to come, you know, how special it is to play with him, you know, so sure. often. And, you know, when we play together, he just jumps on the cart with Mr. Crenshaw and, you know, I'm by myself. and you know, at sometimes I hope that, you know, it's not awkward. There's awkward silences, but every time I look at them, they're talking or giggling or. So after the round, I always ask Blake, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And he said, you know, we talked about centipedes and Dr. Peppers and Mexican food and this and that. And it's, you know, they talk nonstop. It's so cool.
Oh, great.
That is so great. I want to ask Blake one more thing before we wrap up this part of it. And I want to touch back on competition because I'm very interested by playing competitively at this age. Blake, are you playing against yourself, or are you playing against the other competitors? And what I'm trying to find out is, if you don't win, but you feel like you had a good round of golf, are you content with that? Or does it frustrate you that you don't win? You know, well, is second or third good enough at this point?
Yeah. Like, if I play a good round and I still don't place, I can't be mad. It was a good round. Just the other kids played better than me.
That's exactly what I believe. But you know, we see so often that people get frustrated that they aren't quite to that level yet. And it just feels to me like you're going to get to that level with that mindset of, I'm just going to play my best and my best is going to be good enough. And someday it will be good enough, right?
Yeah. And then I feel like a lot of the kids I play with don't really love the sport. I feel like their parents are pushing them a lot. And I feel like a lot of them aren't going to, how should I say that one?
Play forever.
Play maybe. Forever. Yeah. Like, and just enjoy the sport.
That's pretty amazing. That's an amazing observation, Blakey. Because I think all of us definitely. Who are older feel like there's a fine line between, you know, pushing your kids and letting them actually find something they love and do it.
That's what I love about Uncle Ben. He's old and stuff now, but he still loves the game.
Yeah. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Yeah, when he's not working, he's playing golf.
Yep.
So every day.
And when he is working, he's working on golf. So
he's working on golf courses, right?
So.
All right. Well, I feel like I know both of us. We feel like we could talk to you forever. Hopefully we can do that in person. I can't wait to meet you in person, Blakey. Maybe over the summer. Not maybe. Over the summer, when you come to Pinehurst, we are meeting. We are playing golf. We're going to have some dinner, right?
Yes. I'm going to be in South Carolina in July. Can you take me somewhere that we could play with hickories?
Yeah, where are you going to be in South Carolina? Well, I'll talk to Dad.
Visiting you.
I'm sorry?
He's coming to see you,
oh,
Mitch.
Yeah. No, come on. Bring it. Can we move it up?
So, Mitch, the plan is we're going to go to Pinehurst. We're going to go a couple days early and just make the road trip down, have dinner with you, play some golf, and then we'll go up to Pinehurst for the tournament after.
You got it. You got it.
That's the plan.
You got it. I will do whatever I have to do to make that happen here. I don't care what else is going on. I may wind up getting divorced if something else is going on, but it's going to be worth it.
Or you know what would be really cool is we could meet in Sweetens Cove. That would be.
Yeah, that's a little bit off the beaten path when it comes to Pinehurst.
It's the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But that can be another trip. Well, let's one little step at a time. We'll do South Carolina and Pinehurst first and then expand our horizons. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Blakey, I love you, man. I just hang around now because I want to get to Chloe. Chloe, are you still there?
Thank you. Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Sorry that took so long. We don't really ever get a chance to talk to all of you. So I hope you're okay that it took a little bit of time to get to you because now it's your turn.
Oh, no problem.
Okay. let me just tell the people a little bit about you. As I said, you're 12 years old. Chloe started doing something that she also loved at the age of two. I apparently missed out in my two-year-old development. I'm finding out now.
Me too.
Yeah, Darren. And for Chloe, it was dancing hula. And she got so good at it that she competed at a really, really high level and represented her hula organization as the soloist at the Queen Liliuokalani Kaika Hula Festival. How was that? Did I say it okay?
Yeah, pretty good.
Good. Okay. And that is, for those of you who don't know, like I didn't until it came up, it's the biggest hula competition in the world. So this is something that certainly we are not familiar with, but what a wonderful accomplishment that is. And now Chloe's getting more into golf too. She competed a whole bunch last year. And in her first trip to the mainland to compete, she was also at TPC Scottsdale for the drive, chip, and putt regional qualifier after she won the local and sub-regional. And she too just missed out on a trip to Augusta, which I'm sure will happen at some point, but pretty great for the first big event she played in. She's going to be going to Phoenix soon to play in a U.S. Kids regional qualifier at the Desert Shootout. So there's a lot going on for you too, Chloe, and we're really glad you're here too.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I want to start off with the hula stuff.
Okay.
Because I started going, as I told your dad, which is an amazing, I won't call it a coincidence, but I started going to Kona, to Kailua Kona, when I was 16 years old. This was a long time ago because my grandparents used to live there. So I'm very familiar with it. And the first memory I have of getting off the plane after flying for 11 hours from New York was there were people at the bottom of the plane walkway. When you get off the plane, they would put a plumeria lei around your neck, and there were women doing the hula as you got off the plane. And so that was my very first memory of going to Hawaii. I have loved Hawaii and the hula ever since. Here's an obvious question. You started really playing a lot of golf and competing in golf events on a big scale, but first the hula competitions came for you. Talk to us about dancing. I know your mom, Miho, is a great hula dancer also. Is that where you picked it up, and did you fall in love with it right away?
Well, my mom used to dance when I was really little, and I remember that there wasn't a class for me, like how Blake, there wasn't a division for him. So I used to watch my mom dance, and I used to just go on like the back, and I used to learn the steps as she was doing it. So I used to just fall in love with her dancing all the time. And then my kumu kind of realized that there are little kids out there like trying to dance hula as well. So he made a little class, and I joined that class, and that's when I started.
And did you connect with it right away? You knew this was something you really wanted to do. What was it about it that you liked so much?
I connect with it pretty fast. I love it. I loved it so much because I watched my mom dance, and I just love watching her do like so many different moves and dancing, and that just made me fall in love with it.
How great. Do you think you could teach Darren to do the hula?
Maybe. I can try.
She could teach me, but nobody would want to watch it.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. Do you think there's any connection between dancing the hula and playing golf?
Yes, because when I started golf, I had this really strong like hip turn that it got kind of out of control, that I had this huge slide and that problem. But when I did like my driver shots, I'd have this like really strong hip, so I'd actually hit it pretty far. So I think it helps.
It all comes from the hula.
So are you having to tune it back a little bit relative to golf and kind of work on the hip turn thing?
Yeah, it became quite a problem because I had this hula hip slide kind of thing. So now I have to tighten it up.
All right. You know what's interesting that I just realized? I have a problem because I don't have enough hip rotation. So the answer for me in golf is to start taking hula lessons.
Hula lessons.
I get a hula coach. Hula lessons.
All right. Well, I may have to just come to Hawaii, forget the golf, and take hula lessons from Chloe.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
We can do some basics in July. We can do some basics in July in South Carolina.
Okay, that's fine. I'm game. I told you, I wear a kilt. I'm up for anything.
Chloe, you told us that you like driving the ball. What's the part of your game you need to work on the most, do you think, right now?
Right now, I really need to work on my distance control of my irons, even though I really enjoy hitting my irons. And I also have to work on my chipping, putting, and all the short game stuff because that's something I really need to work on. Since I started pretty late, I don't know that many shots off the green or in the bunker. Like Blake, when he steps up to the ball, it's like a 20-yard chip. He has many different options to what to do. And I just have like maybe one or two. So that's something I really need to work on.
Wow, that's interesting. And also distance control with irons was not the answer I expected. That's a very advanced player type of mentality of trying to dial in your irons. And that's what the really good players are trying to do. So I like that you're already thinking that way.
Yeah.
Chloe, can I ask a question? Do you see yourself... I know that you're competing more now and you're doing these tournaments on the mainland. Do you feel like you're really connected to it? Is it something that you want to pursue, you know, really strongly?
I feel really connected to golf because I really enjoy the game. And I, even though I just started, I've always been close to the game because even if Blake was playing when he was little, I was always on the course watching him. So when I started, I kind of knew some basics of what to do. And now I feel really connected to it. Like every day after school, my dad picks me up and we go to the golf course and we just like stay there till dark and just play.
I have to tell you, and for those of you who have not seen it yet, Chloe has an unbelievable swing as well. I mean, really, really great. I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. I'm saying it because it makes me feel completely inadequate. So it's really pretty amazing to watch, and both of you. But let me ask you about the both of you. You mentioned that you guys play now. Your dad said both of you are different kinds of players. Blakey is kind of a field player and you're much more analytical. What happens when you two play each other, which I know you do? Is that a fun experience, or is it the way my brother and I used to go after each other, which wasn't always the most fun experience?
We have fun together, but sometimes we kind of just fight on the golf course. Blake just gets mad at me or something like that happens.
Do you get mad at Blake?
Yeah, all the time. It gets frustrating.
Oh, okay.
He has to joke with me and she'll outdrive me normally. And she'll go, well, I can build a Costco between your ball and my ball. It gets frustrating.
All right. You both know that this is an important element of playing golf, which is the art of trash talking.
That's right. It gets bad between these two. You know, she always, she'll be 20 yards in front and she, oh, it's just a Starbucks today, Blake. It's not a Costco. Sorry.
You know what's wonderful, and you know this, Kylie, too, is as they get older, and they kind of keep going, at some point they'll cross the line from that to being just absolutely the best of friends. Not that they're not, but the best of friends, the biggest supporters.
And a team.
I can't wait to play with my sister, my brother, you know, that. It's going to be awesome. This journey is so cool. It really is.
Yeah.
Also, Chloe needs to get it in while she can because Blake's going to get older and bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
And
keep going, Chloe. Keep going.
It's always, you know, stereotypical role is she'll outdrive him and then he'll beat her by, you know, one. And he always walks off the green and is like, nice drive, Chloe.
It gets pretty frustrating.
Keep going. Keep going. That's the game. Yeah. That's the game. Chloe, one more thing, which I know Darren wants me to ask you because he's a freak when it comes to this stuff. But I understand that you also love baking. Is that right?
Oh, yes. I really like baking. I bake for like all my friends' birthdays and all that.
All right. Well, Darren probably will let you know when his birthday is so he can bake him stuff.
Okay.
That's right. I love eating things that have been baked. So tell us some of the things you like to bake for your friends and, you know, in the future for me.
Okay. I usually like to make like vanilla cupcake or cake with like buttercream or cream cheese frosting.
Is that good, Darren?
I can taste it already.
He's eaten baked pastries in some of the finest places in the world, Chloe.
Yeah. So
that's right.
You'd be right up there with the best of them. I thank you too. Go ahead.
Oh, and me and Blake also know how to make our own ice cream, so we can also do that.
Oh my goodness. Is there no end to your talent? Well, I love talking to you, and Darren, we both love talking to you too, Chloe. Thank you so much for being there and helping. And I'm going to talk to your dad now, but if you and Blakey want to throw stuff, you know, in about your dad, okay, feel free when I'm talking to him, okay? Okay, so Kylie, first of all, before we have a word with you, I definitely want to give a shout out, because they're not here to speak for themselves, to Miho, who we mentioned earlier, your wonderful wife. We had hoped to get her today, but she is working.
Right.
And we just wanted her to know that she is here in spirit and obviously a huge part of the Nakagawa team as well. So will you please give her our regards?
Of course I will. Yes, thank you.
Tell her that at some point we will be talking to her. Now, the other member of the family, Lyman, you mentioned was lying down. So we've already talked about Lyman and what a great addition to the family he is. So I wish he was able to bark at us, but maybe some other time. Did he just wake up?
He's laying upside down.
Ah, see, he is Louie. We have the same dog. All right, let's get to you.
Speaking of the pets, though, Mitch.
Yeah.
Do you have a pet bird as well in that house, or are we just hearing the birds of Hawaii there in the background?
It's just the birds of Hawaii in our yard.
Oh, that is awesome.
It sounds like what my golf simulator sounds like. They have those phony bird sounds, except yours are real. Yeah. This is the coolest. Kylie, let's talk about you for a second. I'm going to give a little background on you too, because you're obviously there's not a way to describe what you are as far as part of this story. You told me that you consider yourself an average golfer with a handicap that's trending up. And I think we all understand why right now. though you love to practice, it's a whole different ballgame to focus on yourself. And you don't really do that. Kylie has the perfect job. I think you're going to agree with me, because he works for RNDC, which is a wine and liquor distribution company, where he – listen to this.
I don't know why you think I would think that's the perfect job, man.
Well, because I do, and I know the two of us are pretty much in lockstep when it comes to this stuff. Kylie oversees what's called the on-premise division, which means all the accounts – now, Kylie, is this for the islands, for all the islands?
I just do the Big Island.
Which is big, so that's good.
Pretty big, yeah.
But where wine and liquor is consumed on the premise, hotels, resorts, golf courses being the key phrase, bars, restaurants, Kylie is the man. Now, he also told me it's a stressful job, but it gives him the freedom. And this is what I think we were wondering, the freedom in the schedule to drop the kids off at school, pick them up, drop them off at the golf course, while, as he said, and I love this technical description of his job, making sure the island has enough booze. That's the technical phrase for what Kylie does. But Kylie, I have to say, and you know this, I've told you this, the way that I came to being aware of Blakey and then Chloe and then Miho and was all because of you. And none of it was done in a way that seemed to be kind of pushing any of this. It was more with an appreciation for a pretty amazing, you know, life and a chance in golf for you to spend time with Blakey and Kylie, to watch them grow in the game, and to kind of shepherd this journey that you're all on in what I think is a really, really unbelievably great way, one of appreciation more than anything else.
100%. You know, the time that my job allows me to be with the kids on the golf course, it's, you know, you can't ask for anything more, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now I know it's going to be hard for you to talk about yourself, because that's not the kind of guy you are. I get that. But I don't care. I'm pumping you, pal. Okay. I don't have that often to talk. When Chloe started dancing at 2 and kicked into it, Blakey came at 2 and started playing golf. Immediate passion by both of them. When did you realize that the two of them weren't just kind of interested, but were special at what they were doing, enough to compete at both hula and golf? And I ask this as a parent, because it's so interesting to have kids and then watch their development. When did you realize, was there a specific moment with each of them when you all of a sudden went, okay, this isn't really average, this is something special?
So Chloe, like she said, she took to hula at a very early age, and she was, you know, the youngest in her class. And, you know, she thrived in learning and picking up the moves. And so she, you know, hula's not really my area of expertise.
But, you know, other than watching it, like us.
Yeah. But, you know, she showed that she was very good from an early age. And then Blake with golf, the same thing. You know, I took him on the golf course when he was 2 years old, and he had a little sawed off, you know, 7-iron, and I didn't show him anything. He picked up the club and started making swings. And, you know, that first video you talk about, that's it. You know, I didn't show him anything. He just hit the ball, and he understood at that age, you know, how to hit down on the ball and not try to scoop it up, you know, compress it a little bit. And he understood that a wedge was better around the green. He understood teeing up a driver to try and, you know, hit up on it a little bit. So he showed that he understood the physics of the game at a very early age. And then, you know, the local Big Island Junior Golf organization here just came up to me one day and said, you know, why don't you put him in a tournament? And I said, you know, I think he was 3. And he said, they said, we'll let him into the 6 and under division. And just for fun, you know, and he went up and ended up winning against a couple other, you know, 5 and 6 year olds. So, and after that, we were just off to the races, you know, we're, you know, what's next? And then, you know, the life of a junior golf parent, there's no blueprint for it. You just have to learn as you go. And, you know, we just started looking for the next tournament. Like, okay, well, you know, as a 5 year old, let's go to Oahu and see how you do. And he did well there. And he's like, okay, what's next? We just, you know, find another bigger tournament. And, you know, we never stop. You know, it's still going on, you know, just trying to find the bigger next biggest tournament, basically.
And what do you do now? I mean, we're always talking about parents and this situation. You know, what do you do now to foster their love for the game and competition? Besides finding events to play in, is it just about the things that you mentioned of getting out on the golf course, whether that's as a family or father, son, or father, daughter, or you know, just making sure that they just enjoy game, you know, golf for the game it is, and the competition comes with that if they want it?
You know, so to me, one of the saddest things I see at these big tournaments we go to are parents and kids that are, you know, yelling at each other, and the kids are crying. And in my opinion, you know, you're just missing the entire big picture. I mean, you know, when Blake and I are at Pinehurst, we're looking around and, you know, we're soaking it all in. And just the fact that we're there is, you know, how cool is that? You know, he's, you know, win, disqualified, last place, it really doesn't matter. It's the fact that we're there and he's competing at a iconic venue like that. And it breaks my heart to see, you know, other parents and, you know, just really missing the big picture. So I just try to make sure that the kids have fun. I make sure that, you know, if they want to do it and compete at a high level, that, you know, obviously there's some expectations as far as, you know, practice and putting in the time. But I always tell my wife that I'd much rather err on the side of, you know, you want to take a break for a year and not, you know, and have them play the game for the rest of their life, as opposed to them tell me when they're 12 or 13 or 14 that I'm done, I'm not having fun. You know, my goal is to have both of them taking me to play golf when I'm 80 years old. That's my goal.
That is a good goal to have.
Yeah. And I think if I can do that and they're still playing, then it's fine. You know, that's my end goal, is so that they take their old man to play golf when I'm old.
I think you could stop now and that would already happen. Yeah. That's just my opinion. Well, that is pretty great. The kind of to wrap this up, Kali, you said about other parents and, you know, going down the road of junior golf. And it's not, I mean, where I live, and we all experience this, there are parents that are kind of constantly complaining about travel groups and travel teams, you know, in soccer, right, and basketball, right, and And I listen to them talk. I have friends here that do it, and they're talking about games that are 90 minutes away.
Right.
And they're complaining. I asked you about what future plans were with Blake and Chloe. You sent me the following list. Phoenix this month, which is February. Vegas, April. San Diego, March. San Diego, July. Pinehurst, August. Palm Springs, September. Monterey, October. I mean, I think we look at that and go, A, how cool. But B, just as a planner and a doer and a making that happen as a parent, what is that like for you? I know it's great. I know it's fun. But it's also got to be, I'm not going to say stressful because I don't imagine it is, but you're really responsible for this part, the next part of Blakey and Chloe's growth in this area.
And you know what, Mitch, I haven't even included the Hawaii State schedule. So we probably have 5 or 6 inter-island weekend trips sprinkled in there between all of those.
Of course. Well, you had some free weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
But you know what? We treat them like mini vacations. You know, we because we're doing so many of them, we're not eating out and staying at the nicest hotels. But, you know, we find – and Blake's a foodie as is. You know, the kid lives off of bone marrow and foie gras and truffles, and he has very expensive taste, that guy. So – and Chloe, both of them. It's a nightmare eating out with those two. They laugh at restaurants when they bring out kids' menus.
Yeah. that's funny.
But you know, we make, and Blake even has his spots. He's like a traveling tour pro already, where he has his restaurants in Palm Springs that he likes, and he has his restaurants in San Diego that Blake and Chloe like, and you know, so in that sense, we've made the same route for the last few years now, so we kind of have a general understanding of where we're going. But you know, we make it fun. We go and eat cool spots, and we find, you know, a couple touristy things to do. And then, you know, we look out for a good course to play while we're in town, like Pinehurst. We were supposed to be at Rams Hill last year, but we last minute, we didn't make it.
Yeah.
But
I was going to ask you about that one, your upcoming trip in March. So
we can talk about
that after the podcast.
Yeah, we had a tea time in September, but my dad was along on that trip, and we actually drove down to San Diego the evening before to make it out to Goat Hill Park the following day, because they had a big party and welcoming party for Blake down there. So we had to get down there a little early, but you know, we just make the trips fun. You know, it's, we treat them like mini vacations, and we eat well, and we play some cool golf, and, you know, we get to spend time as a family and compete a little bit. They're awesome. We love these trips. They're a lot of fun for us.
That is awesome. Before we let you go, because you just brought it up, and both Darren and I know, want to hear this impression. We both love Goat Hill Park. It's a very special place for Darren. I got to experience it once, and I can't wait to go back. I know you had a great time. I know you were hitting persimmons there. You got to spend time with, if I'm not mistaken, with a whole bunch of people that were really happy to see you. You want to tell us about it, Blakey?
Yeah. Goat Hill Park, it's not the nicest course.
It's getting there.
Yeah. Yes. They're building it to look amazing. But I remember the first time I went there, how old was I, 6?
You're 6.
Yeah. I went there when I was 6 and on the range. It was awesome. I couldn't find a piece of grass to hit that ball I had. I had to look for a nice
piece of grass. Passes,
yeah, it was all dirt.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So Blake.
But they're changing it. I mean, were you there watching, looking at people and dogs and everything
else?
Yeah. Yeah. And to see that course grow so much from 6, since I was 6 for 4 years now, to see it
turn into what it is now. Like
now they have foresight things on the range, they have mats, the grass is nice.
Yep. But it's still the same great. People's community golf course.
It's such a community course, and it's such a it's such a good vibe course. You know, everybody knows everyone, and it's the best hangout.
Uh-huh.
Do you also call Matt Janella Uncle Matty and John Ashworth Uncle Johnny?
Yeah.
Uncle John and Maddie.
You are building quite a collection of uncles, Blakey.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I have a question for you that brings up before I let you go. Do you have any aunts?
Have you
connected with a
Auntie Sarah?
Oh, baby. There you go. All right. That's perfect. Perfect. I think we're all going to start calling her instead of Smoots. We're going to start calling her Auntie Sarah.
Auntie Sarah.
All right. Well, Darren, any final thoughts here?
Oh, well, as you say so often, we could probably talk for 3 or 4 hours.
Uh-huh.
But I like the entire perspective and just more power to all of you. What you bring to the game, not just what the game brings to you, but what you bring to the game with your excitement about it and just going about all of this, it just feels like the right way as a model for what families should be doing, to enjoy the game of golf together and try to get better at it, given the skills you have.
Yeah, that's perfectly put. I can't thank you guys enough. I know you're probably sitting there. Yeah. I can see Blakey and Chloe going, come on, looking at their watch. We got to get to the golf course.
We got to get to the golf course.
It's pretty warm right now, so we're going to wait a little bit till the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Chris, are you listening? They got to wait till it's too warm right now.
It's just a dagger for Chris right there.
Right. I'm just wondering if there is an application or something to be a child in the family. Like, is there can I sign up somewhere to be adopted? It sounds pretty great.
Yeah, not to make you guys feel bad, but I think we're going to go take a jump in the ocean before we go to the golf course.
Oh, good. Do a little surfing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay.
Well done.
Well, we are happy for all of you and all you do. And as I said, please give Miho and Lyman our best. Tell Miho we really missed her. I wanted to hear Mom's, but maybe we'll do that some other time.
Of course.
We're supremely grateful for the whole family joining in and giving us a rundown. I think there's so many people, as Darren said, who really are following along on this journey. It's just, it's so, so great to watch. And all we can say is mahalo, aloha, and thanks for taking us along on the Nakagawa ride. We are riding the big wave with you.
Thank you so much. I'm going to go out and play with my hickories today in honor of you guys. Thank you.
You go, man. I love that you love those so much. I really do. It's so great.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for running it in. Thanks, Chloe. Chloe.
Maybe we'll beat them today.
Yeah, maybe.
Like three clubs.
Yeah.
And Kylie, thank you so much for shepherding them and off the course and for this conversation, man. I'm really glad we got to do this, and I know I'm going to see you soon.
No, thank you for having us. This has been awesome.
Okay. One more time.
Yeah, we're going to see you soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One more time on Instagram, Blake_Nakagawa, @IslandChloe, @IslandKB, KAYBEE, and @Lyman_the_Hawaiian_golden. If you want to follow along.
I just started following Lyman
I tell you, it's just the greatest. This is a family you really, really want to follow. Darren, Chris, as always, hopefully the three of us will get to make that trip together out there to the Big Island. I can't think of anybody else I'd rather share that time with.
Absolutely.
Take care, Chris. Stay warm. Chris?
Sorry, I was stoking the fire here in the house.
Yeah, I was going to say, you defrosting? Good. All right. All right. Thanks as always. I'll talk to you down the road. Kylie, Miho, Blakey, and Chloe, and Lyman, I might add, are in the process of living their dreams. We hope you're running yours down too. So long.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.